to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. So the talk for today is One Power. And we speak of that every word, every single week. The word, there is one presence and one power, God the good, omnipotent. And you know, the subtitle for today is The Power of Power. Well, I kind of threw Eileen off with that one. She was sure it was a typo, but I just kept repeating it in everything. It's the power of power. And it goes along with our study of the 12 powers. The 12 powers is conceived by Charles Fillmore, which he aligned and identified with the 12 disciples and a color. And as we'll hear throughout this month, it's the disciple, Philip, and the color purple. And he conceived these as tools for us, tools of ways to consider, to look at, to evaluate, to assess the 12 powers, which are simply 12 expressions of the one power, or we call them faculties. So what is the power of power? Well, power is the faculty of having dominion over our thoughts, our feelings, and our impulses. It's the power of having mastery over that human part of ourselves, the ego, the fears, and being able to live from, to express from the true power, our divine power. In our Absolute Abundance class, 1 week we looked at success and mastery and how those two might be different. Success might be the one-time success, whereas mastery is our ability to repeat that success or that dominion or that level of performance repeatedly, maybe not every single time, but repeatedly. We know we can go back to that same level. That is mastery. And so as we're looking at power, we're actually looking at mastery. Mastery of our humanity versus our divinity. And the disciple for this month is Philip. So what do we know of Philip? We know that Philip was called. He was not one of the disciples that were brought to Jesus. That he was called by Jesus, called out as a disciple. As Jesus was leaving Bethany, as he had been baptized by John the Baptist. And that Philip immediately responded. And so in the few messages of the Bible that mention Philip by name, we have a picture of someone who is steady, who is present, who is grounded. But it's less important why the disciple Philip was chosen for the power of power, and much more significant about that, how that power plays out in our lives. For each of us, I know for me, I have many examples where I did not have dominion, did not have mastery over my emotions. And when I think of this, I think of the terrible twos, where you've got the little one going from being a baby to a toddler, and then it repeats itself. In those teenage years, am I a teenager? Am I an adult? Am I a teenager? Am I an adult? And then for some of us, myself included, I cannot say I was an early mature of my mastery of my emotions. And yet we grow and we learn. So yes, we have these examples of where perhaps we are not proud of how we've responded to a situation. We all each have examples also of how we have mastered, how we came from that space of truth and perhaps surprised ourselves with the wisdom, with the grace that came forth as we were coming from that space of the divine. As we look at scripture, as we always do, today we're going to look at the Hebrew scriptures. And we're looking at Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one of the wisdom books of the Old Testament. It's a book of moral and religious instruction. And it's actually a collection, it's a library of teachings, teaching materials that were used specifically or most often to teach young people, young Jewish people, about responsibility and the way to express in this world, and the way to come from that higher place. And so we're looking at Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 32nd verse. He that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. He and she that rules his or her spirit is better than he or she that takes a city. And so as I was taking this myself to prayer, I thought of an example, an excellent example of this being expressed in history. For those of you that love history like I do, you might recall Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, Macedonia, who lived between 350 and 400 years before the time of Jesus. He was born into royalty. His father was King Philip, little tie-in there, King Philip. And he studied under some of the greatest teachers of the world. His father hired as a tutor the philosopher Aristotle. Can you imagine? That was one of his tutors. He studied war by the time he was 16. His father was killed when he was 19, and so Alexander became the king when he was 20 years old. And he had a brilliant military mind. His tactics are still studied today. He was able to, with his army spread out through all of Greece and unite Greece, as well as conquer Persia, Egypt. And one of the great things that happened throughout this was that everyone learned the Koine Greek language. So there was a common language for commerce. It was also the practice that time in Greece that every city would have a building that was used as a gymnasium and for intellectual studies, for that was so valued. And people were able to keep whatever their religious teachings were. That was not changed, but they had this wonderful opportunity now to expand their minds. That's what we think of with Alexander the Great, this great uniter of kingdoms, for he took many cities, many kingdoms, many countries, many territories. Alexander the Great did not have mastery over his inner self. He was a man who angered easily, loudly and violently, perhaps due to the amount of wine that he consumed. He died at the age of 33, and even at the time of his death, no one could agree as to why he died. He suffered for 10 days. The poisons of those days generally acted quicker than that. They didn't know about things like alcohol poisoning. It is stated that he cried, thinking that there were no worlds left to conquer, for this was a personal ambition. Alexander the Great was not so great when it came to his personhood, to coming from a space of integrity or being benevolent. So how does that fit for us? What cities do we take? We take a city every time we insist on being right and making someone else wrong. We take a city every time we are determined to win an argument, to have our own way, to make our preference be the only one. We take a city every time we diminish another person in any way. And we do that when we're operating from that human space and when we forget who we are. And we also have that power of mastery within us, just as the disciple Philip, to come from that space of grace. To recognize what we're doing, to not care about who wins an argument or to not engage in the argument in the first place, to relinquish our desire, whatever it is, and to allow someone else's need to come first. We are powerful beings. And so if Jesus Christ were here today, and he is, what might he say to the disciple Philip, who represents power?
Whenever I get ready to speak with you, Philip, I find myself taking a deep breath, which brings me a sense of being grounded, a sense of standing on a solid foundation. That simple act of a slow, deep breath before I speak is the perfect symbol for you, Philip. Through this short time we've known each other, I've watched you come to truth slowly, like a long inhale filling your lungs. Even times when you don't recognize truth, staring you in the face, you still take life in and make space for truth to germinate. Then I see it. Your face changes as you continue to breathe slowly. I see you awaken to the power that you are by harnessing all the life energies within yourself. Once harnessed, you have an uncanny ability to direct it with laser focus in order to bring forth God ideas here on earth. Everything about you shifts, and your glory starts to shine. After your glory begins to shine, then comes your voice filled with what you have just realized, and I am captivated. You amaze me and take my breath away. You have made my ministry a sanctuary of power and grace. From every miracle you've witnessed to the difficult encounters with those who work to deny the life, love, power, and substance that is God, you continually work at coming into your own. Each time you find your voice, you leave echoes of perfection that gently land on people's hearts while also lighting the path for those who are lost. Your presence reverberates this as possibly our greatest creative power coming to life. I want you to know this is who you are for me, and the world is better for it.
Thank you. You are each Philip. You each possess this power of mastery. And so for a moment now, and if you would like, you can close your eyes. I'm going to speak these words to you. Accept them as your own. Whenever I get ready to speak with you, I find myself taking a deep breath, which brings me a sense of being grounded, a sense of standing on solid foundation. That simple act of a slow, deep breath before I speak is the perfect symbol for you. Even times when you don't recognize truth staring you in the face, you still take life in and make space for truth to germinate. Then I see it. Your face changes as you continue to breathe slowly. I see you awaken to the power that you are by harnessing all the life energies within yourself. And once harnessed, you have an uncanny ability to direct it with laser focus in order to bring forth God ideas here on earth. Everything about you shifts, and your glory starts to shine. After your glory begins to shine, then comes your voice filled with what you have just realized. And I am captivated. You amaze me. And take my breath away. Each time you find your voice, you leave echoes of perfection that gently land on people's hearts while also lighting the path for those who are lost. Your presence reverberates this as possibly our greatest creative power coming to life. I want you to know this is who you are for me. And the world is better for it. Amen. Unity is practical Christianity. We take the tools, we take the awareness, we take the lessons from this space out into the world. I'm sure you all figured early on, you don't get just check off church, done. The homework starts, the love work starts when we walk out the door. And so this week, I invite you to take into your time of prayer and meditation the thought, the inquiry of how you can express the mastery of who you are in a greater way in your life. And so it is. Amen. This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.